Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Step forward, two steps back as the 10-man addicts are turned over by Gillingham at home once again. This run we're meant to be kickstarting suffers yet another false start. Welcome to Club Podcast of the Year nominated Charlton Live. Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. I hope you are well. My name is Louis Mendez and joining me on, yes, Club Podcast of the Year nominated once again Charlton Live this week to look back at that really disappointing defeat against Gillingham at the Valley yesterday. First up, a man we all forgot existed, Terry Smith. How are you doing, Tel?
Yeah, I'm still about, contrary to popular belief.
Yeah, we haven't heard you on the pod for ages.
No, it's because I'm normally in bed when you put the tweets out to join. Because I think last week, I had some defence to that. Last week we were first trip away for a while because of the situation. So trekking it back from Rochdale, I didn't get in until the early hours. So by the time I went to bed and then got up again, you'd already put the messages out to see who wanted to be on. Prior to that, I can't answer you.
All I'm hearing is excuses, Tel.
Yeah, basically, I'm good at that.
Yeah, they don't wash on this show anymore. And also joining us here is the chef, Mark Newby. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm just glad that I'm the younger one on the team tonight. So normally, I've been keeping the average age up. So nice.
We only have his word for that, by the way.
Yeah, was it Benji said when we decided who was on? It's like an episode of One Foot in the Grave on this week's show. But
last of a summer wine.
There we go. Well, let's not get dragged down in that. Right. So on this evening's show, then we will be looking back at a 3-2 defeat. Another. Disappointing day, and of course we'll be concentrating on Lee Bowyer's comments afterwards. We'll hear from the Addicts boss. We've got loads of reaction from what Lee Bowyer said as well from you guys, so plenty to get through on this evening's show. And just before we hear the highlights, or part of the highlights, Terry, another tough one to take. And obviously going down to 10 men didn't help, and the sixth time that's happened this season, so that's something else that's starting to get a bit tricky, really. We seem to become a side that's lacking discipline. But, you know, defensively, we've let in some screamers, but at the same time, we've defended badly as well. It's been the story of our season.
Yeah, I mean, you can't necessarily hide behind the fact that we've had some real corkers scored against us this season, and yesterday was no different. I mean, you look at, was it Ollie Lee's shot in the first minute that nestled into the bottom corner, and then every other shot after that was, well, he hit the bar once, but you know, there was one that ended up in Rose Ed, and another one which he missed it completely. But you're right, and I think everybody will be up in arms if we try and use that as an excuse, and quite rightly so. I can't put my finger on it. You can't judge the two different sides, the sides that won away so convincingly last week and fought for everything, and the defence were outstanding, and then we come back to the Valley and we look soft again, and it's just bizarre. I'd love to know the answer. I mean, if I knew the answer, then we'd all be millionaires, or I certainly would be, because you'd be able to predict everything. How the same side, exactly the same side, that went out at the Valley yesterday, can I guess we allowed ourselves to get bullied. And I don't think we played that badly. I think that, you know, especially when we pulled it back to 2-2 before they after they scored for a proportion of that first half, we were on top until we scored. And so there were, you know, it wasn't a horrible performance necessarily. It's just that in certain aspects we were just soft again, and Bogus said it before about us being too soft at times, and I think we were guilty of that yesterday as well.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it, how I think there's been too many home games recently where because we are so effective, I'd say, attacking, you know, we score a lot of goals, that's not changed. You know, another two yesterday, that probably glosses over the fact and does make it feel like we're playing well, which we are going forward. It's baffling as to why we are so bad defensively. You know, the first goal, Deji Oshalaja's header, so poor. You know, Deji, I mentioned last week, he's done well, but he does have a ricket in him, and we saw at least two yesterday. I can't understand why we are so... I mean, that third goal as well, and we'll dissect it properly later, Mark, but I mean, it's going to be a tough show. But your feelings, Mark, just before we hear the highlights, your overall feelings of yesterday's game?
Well, I totally agree with Terry when he said bullied, because I thought to myself, if you remember last season when we played Fulham and Pearce was up against Mitrovic, who puts himself about, and they had an absolute battle for 90 minutes. No quarter asked for, no quarter given. And at the end of it, they walked off. It was a draw. They shook hands and got on with it. You know, that kind of physical player. Yesterday, Akindi, for Gillingham, just put Pearce in his pocket and he was just running riot. And I think they just looked scared to get close to him, scared to get near him. And I think, you know, the battle was lost mentally with that. Purrington, Gunter, didn't do anything outrageous. But I just thought, you know, we just couldn't handle. And you're thinking, well, this is the kind of game which should be bread and butter for Pearce. I mean, I said last week when everyone was raving about what a great game he'd had, I said, you know, I've got to give it over a couple of games of constant performance. And I think this just shows why I said that, because this was definitely a 4 out of 10 performance. And it's difficult because, like you said, we are scoring and we are looking fairly comfortable, I'd say, across midfield. But it's just every time it comes forward, you're just thinking, because you don't really remember Amos making outrageous saves. You see him picking the ball out of his net, but you don't see him making all these saves. So it is hard to pick exactly, like to put your finger on it.
It drives me insane. It's interesting, actually, funny, like, because I think you and me are going to disagree there, because I didn't think Pearce himself actually did too much wrong yesterday. I'm looking at Deji for the first goal, definitely looking at Purrington for the third goal. Maybe I need to see them again, but, you know, that's differing opinions we're going to have on the show. Terry, do you want to jump in, or should we go to the highlights?
Yeah, no, I'd have a slightly different opinion as well, when you consider where the goals came from. The first goal came from Ollie Lee, a midfield player who was allowed to just run through the midfield to slot it home. Yes, the clearing header could have been better, but generally it's a midfield player that scored. The second goal was from what's his name? Was it Ogilvy? Wasn't it? Who was their left back? Who just hit spanked one from 25 yards or whatever it was, and then the third goal was another midfield player. And out of the three, I think the third goal, you're right about Purrington, not just Purrington, to a lesser extent, Jason Pearce probably could have shouted at him to, if he didn't, to see him out, to guide him away from his shooting foot, which was his right, But also, I think Liam Miller probably could have closed the space down a little bit better as well. So, yeah, I agree with Mark on the battle in front. I think it was always a battle. I think both Dejosh Larger and Jason Pearce had a battle on their hands with Akinde and was it Oliver, the other forward. Yes, they had a battle, but and they won a few, lost a few. But I think it was the second balls from clearances that we weren't dealing with, and that's where we got bullied. And I think that's where certainly the first two goals where we didn't do enough.
And it's something that happens often for us, unfortunately. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights on Valley Pass Live yesterday. Just a note that Glove Pop forgot to press record for the first goal. So we if you listen to this, you'll hear a 2-2 draw. But let's listen back to the Valley Pass highlights. Greg Stubley and Terry Smith are your commentators.
Dunton looked long towards Stockley. Doesn't get there. And will it run through? And it might do to Miller, who's got it ahead of his man into the penalty area. A little ball sideways to Anike. Can he finish? Yes, he can! And the third attempt, Chucks Anike finds the back of the net. Twice he's hit the woodwork. This time, Liam Miller pouncing on a mistake at the Gillingham defence. Man on the floor as the ball was put through. Could have gone on his own, Liam Miller, but instead he slid it across to Anike, who had no trouble burying the chance.
Yeah, brilliant from Liam Miller. Does really well. Initially, there was a slip from O'Keefe. Miller picks it up, and I was thinking he might have taken his man on a little bit more, but he looked up, saw Anike, who just avoided the offside, controlled, got it into his possession, and then a tap-in in the end. Gillingham appealing for offside. It's not given. And Charlton level.
Lovely reverse pass with his back foot. And Anike goes back to Forster Keski. Back across the penalty area to Prattley. Will he take the shot? He does! Oh, tipped over the bar. It's a corner.
Oh, what an effort from Dan to take on Parrington. Ball in. It's a header by Pearce. It might come the way of Lee. It does. Out to his left. Ogilvie hits it! Oh, what a screamer. Ben Amos couldn't do much about that. The ball was teed up to Ogilvie. He just struck it superbly past Ben Amos, and Gillingham retake the lead.
Well, you said there's nothing much anybody could have done about that. It just fell for him, and it's one of those that they either go in or it'll have been heading down towards the Woolwich barrier. This one flew past Ben Amos. Maybe Charlton will look at the clear
circle. Stockley got cross Cundy in. There is the half-time whistle. As Charlton go into the break. That's a scoreline. Charlton 1, Gillingham 2. Chinney swing this ball in Pontier again. This time towards Pearce. Heads down. Cundy gets there first and can clear only as far as Miller. Miller has got Chinney to his right again, who he uses. Chinney controls. Ball, it's a decent one, looking for Stockley with a header! The Charlton equalise! Jaden Stockley with the header. A lovely ball in from Andrew Chinney on his right hand side. And Stockley jumped well. His header went past bottom, and it's Charlton 2, Gillingham 2 after 50, coming up to 52 minutes.
That's a lovely cross. Stockley this time got there. Not only did he get there, but he managed to generate the power that he couldn't the time before and guide it past bottom.
Finds Perrington, couldn't quite do so. Good challenge from Chinney, though, and it might come the way of Anike. He's trying to shrug off Cundy and does so. Anike is saved by Bonham at the near post. There will be a Charlton corner.
Just for a second there, you thought the luck had gone Charlton's way. Superbly well, just a walk over and say thank you very much. Sends it long. Anike will try and get on the end of this. And yeah, he's just run straight into Tucker, and he might get a booking for his troubles here, Anike.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
Stopping, lovely touch on to Anike, but he can't get it under control. Can't get his foot. Oh no, the referee's going to send Anike off here. I can't believe that. I'll have to see that again. I know he tried to get to the ball. He wouldn't come to him. And he's gone for the ball. Made connection with Ogilvie, who stayed down. And the referee has seen that as a second yellow.
And that's very harsh. He thinks that... I'm not even sure he's aware that Ogilvie's there. He's looking for the ball towards his right-hand side. And I think it was the run of Jayasimi. He definitely makes contact on Ogilvie. I don't think there's any question about that. And he's quite high, and that's the problem.
Landed on his knee. I think that's what he's done. It goes across. Jackson still on it. Going to take Miller on. Goes past him. Ball into the box. Finds Lee off the crossbar. Back to Akinde. Great block from Gunter. Charlton survive. With 4.5 minutes left of normal time. Still 2-2 here. McKenzie for Gillingham. Out to Ogilvie. Halfway inside the Charlton half. Back to McKenzie. Out to the right is Dempsey. Allowed to come towards the edge of the penalty area. Now he's in the penalty area. Perrin trying to stop him. Ball drilled in and shot and goal. And that's all comes from allowing Dempsey the space and time to get into the penalty area. Goes past Perrington and drills a shot home.
Yeah, done with your tail. Chance should have got a little bit tight to Dempsey there. Got away with initially with the Lee effort, which came off the bar, and Chomp just didn't regroup, and comes to Dempsey, and both Miller and Perrington allowing him to come inside the penalty area. Gets onto his right foot, opens up a bit of space, and again it's another wonderful finish past Ben Amos. But the fact he was allowed to bring that ball inside the penalty area will annoy Lee Bowyer. Gets ahead of Perrington, and it's a powerful effort, just bobbled up just as he hit
just
it.
Just bobbled up perfectly for him, didn't it?
Just to connect with that strike past Amos again. He couldn't do much about that. Gentlemen have the lead.
Under control, cleared away, but only straight to Jaisumi. Can he take the shot away? He can! Oh, tipped over the bar! Charlton so close to getting back on level terms, and Bonham denies it. Oshalaja steps in to win it back for Charlton. Gets it to Amos, and the referee only plays 30 seconds of added time, so the two substitutions weren't counted in added time. And Charlton have gone down here 3-2 to Gillingham.
Well, there we go. That was the highlights from the 3-2 defeat, unfortunately, against Gillingham yesterday. A game that nearly didn't go ahead, and after 30 seconds, Terry, I was wishing it hadn't. Because, you know, I mean, Nathan and his side did so much hard work to get that game on, despite Steve Evans being desperate to be called off. And, you know, I said to a Gillingham fan on Twitter, tried to add a pop after, fair enough, you've won the game. And I said, I said was, I just kind of understand why Steve Evans was so desperate to pass up an attempt to have a go at our defence, because if I was given the chance, I think I would at the moment as well. I'd go out there and try and play. He's crazy.
I think he was prioritising because they got a game against Peterborough coming up in a week, and they had a couple of injuries scares yesterday. I think, was it Graham was missing for them yesterday, and I think that he was concerned going into the game. What they should have done should have given us the confidence to really go at them, because they clearly didn't want to play it, or they clearly were looking for reasons not to play it. But Nathan and his team did a superb job, absolutely superb job, because apparently it was between minus 10 and minus 14 overnight at the Valley. And when he got there, it was like concrete. So to get it playable was superb. But as you say, a minute in, we probably wished, well, and 90 minutes in, probably wished he hadn't bothered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, so Mark, just dissecting the first goal, and obviously it's the worst possible start. It was mildly funny that they had Rob Leon as a guest when his son was scoring against us. I would have liked to have seen that conversation at halftime. Again, just simple errors. Dodgy Oshalaja heading the ball into the middle of the park outside our penalty area. I can't understand why we're doing this. I sort of looked up, you know, because the game just started, I was getting my notes wherever they needed to be, and I looked up and saw Amos scrambling back towards his goal. So I think he'd originally looked like he was coming out of his area or something. And ball, you know, fired into the bottom corner. So again, it's just that, you know, we've gone from that performance at Rochdale where we actually looked like an organised unit, and all of a sudden within 30 seconds we're back to our old selves.
Well, funnily enough, I'd missed it as well. I'd gone to get a brew before the game started, and I walked in at 1 minute and saw we were 1-0 down. I did see it. Yes, it's the wrong thing for Deji to do. Was it a good strike? Yes, it was a good strike. He's that kind of player, Ollie Lee. Decent. And it's being caught cold straight away. I mean, to concede at any time is not good, but to concede in the first 5 minutes, you've really got to wonder where their head's at for going. I mean, did they think the game wasn't going to go ahead? You know, even after a warm-up? I know it was very late before the referee said, you know, it can happen. But you do wonder mentally where they are. Why isn't, you know, everyone, you know, chomping at the bit, be first in the tackle? That's what, you know, you've got to be saying in your huddle beforehand. Be first in, let them know, you know, they're playing your game. And we didn't do that. I mean, we showed great character to get back into it. After that, I just told myself, the next 15 minutes before the goal was coming, I thought, you know, we're going to equalise here. We could see it coming. But we used to be caught just after half time as well. And you're thinking, I don't understand that, why are they so relaxed and not switched on at the start of a game for either half? I'd love to get inside a sportsman's head to work out what, you know, what with us was the deciding factor. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good reaction, Tell. We did come out strong. We'd already hit the woodwork twice before we levelled, and Liam Miller took advantage of a slip. Played it into Chucks and Eke, obviously finished well. But then, yeah, I don't know if Jake's injury just a few moments later seemed to stifle us once more.
I think that's fair as well. I think we certainly missed him Jake, when he went off. He's probably been one of our, if not the best player on in the side for the last couple of months. So, yeah, we definitely missed him. No question about it. We were, after the initial shock of going to go behind in the first minute, we bossed the game right up until to the second one. And probably could have had two or three, and if we had have done, we'd have probably been out of sight and they wouldn't have got back in it. That second goal, I think, and Jake going off certainly knocked the stuffing out of us, no question about it. And I think something we never recovered from, I don't think, because we seemed to, I don't know, get anxious potentially in the second half. We were, I wouldn't say trying too hard, that's probably not the right phrase, but we just didn't seem to click as well. And didn't help that the referee seemed to change refs in the second half, because he seemed quite controlled and in charge of the game in the first half. Second half, he went missing.
Yeah, that was a strange one. I mean, we obviously have to hold your hands up. That was a fine strike from Connor Ogilvy for Gillingham. And in terms of, you know, as a cross that we defended our box and then just didn't get it far enough away, and that's a punishment. Obviously, there's, you know, you could say you want to see players charged down, but Prattley was trying to get out there, but he's hit it well and it's gone in the top corner. Arguably not much we could do about that one, not like the first one that we should have defended and the third one that we certainly should have. But, you know, after half time we came back into it as well. Jaden Stockley, I think we should say, is actually an excellent header from Stockley. If you see, the ball was almost behind him and he's sort of levered his neck backwards to get the power into it and got us back into it. But then I'm trying to think really of clear-cut chances after that, Mark. There was one where a clearance was charged down and it fell to Anike and you know, forced a save from the goalkeeper. But really, did we create enough in that second half, having got back onto to level terms, you know, in the spell between hauling it level and Anike getting sent off?
Probably not, but you remember we hit the woodwork twice in the first half as well, which seems just to be anyone who wants to have a bet on how many times we'll hit a woodwork in a game, I'd go for at least three or more. In the second half, JS Army had a chance, which was a goalkeeper save, but yeah, I don't really remember much after that. But at 2-2, before the sending off, I thought myself, you know, I could only see one winner here. And I just thought it was going to be us. I thought, you know, we were just going to wear them down. There might have not been a sort of many clear-cut chances. And it's a great header. And Stockley has just become sort of an absolute favourite for just literally for his whole attitude. But clear-cut chances, no. Sort of like maybe one I can think of. But you don't know after the sending off, the mentality. We know we're going to be deeper. We know we're going to be sitting back a bit. But we still probably had chances, you know, just to catch them on the break where they were pushing forward. And it wasn't the greatest debut from DJ to come on for Jake. You know, move Shinny. I like Shinny going back into midfield. I thought he did well. DJ gave a ball away a couple of times for me, which I'm thinking, you know, he's chasing back, but you make sure. And I don't know, it's hard to blame the pitch, whether he couldn't get a full head of steam up and turn the guy. A couple of times he put in some good crosses, but no one on the end of it. Difficult. I mean, we had 12 shots, 6 on target, 6 off target. So, I don't know, that's about average for us for a game, I think.
So let's talk about that red card then for Chuksunike. Two yellow cards in about 2 minutes, it was, Tell. Your views, I mean, we heard in the highlights, I think once you saw a replay, particularly the second one, you thought maybe that, you know, seems fair. I haven't seen it, I thought definitely two yellows, unfortunately.
Well, I think the second one is a slightly different opinion, I think. The second one, it's not a stamping motion. He goes to kick the ball, misses, and his follow-through with the side of his foot catches the guy's knee. It wasn't full-blooded. It wasn't like a horrendous, thunderous kick on his knee that would send him to hospital or any of that. But he made contact, of course. Now, it's a foul, no question about it, but it's just a mistimed effort to get to the ball. Is that a yellow card? I've got a feeling if Chuck said, "Had been on a yellow, I don't think he'd have given him a second yellow. The first one, do you know what I mean? I don't think he'd have given him a yellow card had he not already been on one. And secondly, I just think in the back of the referee's mind, that first challenge that Chuck's did, and he was angry because he got pulled back and had been pulled back consistently by I think it was Tucker? No, it was Cundy, pretty sure. And he got pulled back just slightly before that, and so that's why he thundered into the man, into the player. And I think the referee thought he might should have sent him off, because I think in the back of his mind, he's thinking he led with his elbow. And when you look at it in slow motion, it looks a lot worse than it did at full speed. So that's my thinking. I think the referee saw an opportunity to make up for what he should have done the first time.
Yeah, so, well, interesting point there. And then, obviously, so we've gone into that last 20 minutes then, a man down, and Gillingham just started to come out again towards the end. I think I saw Steve Evans' post-match comments. He sort of said that he felt the sending off did sort of change his game plan again, and that they were looking for space to sort of take advantage of, and they did that. I mean, they'd hit the bar moments before they scored the winner, and again, I mean, is Carl Dempsey given the freedom, as much time as he wanted to run into the penalty area and just fire it beyond Amos? It just felt like we were backing off him, Mark, for me.
Yeah, that's always going to be the trouble. I mean, you think yourself, I think we're good enough to hold out for 20 minutes with 10 men. I think, you know, if it's backs to the wall, it's backs to the wall, throwing bodies in. We obviously proved what we weren't. It's hard. I haven't checked on any of the stats. You said we've had 6 red cards. I don't know how many of those games we've drawn or lost, or I presume we've maybe lost all of them, where there's been a red card in it. It's difficult, but teams practice playing, you know, 10 against 11, you know, 9 against 10 with an extra man. So, you know, you move across, you defend. It's difficult. Could the goal have been stopped? Yeah, I did think in a build-up there could have been a few more better tackles. Could he have showed him outside? Yes, I think there's, in hindsight, when you look back at it, there's loads of things you could have done. Going back to the red card, I thought, you know, he didn't give a referee much option. The fact that it was so close to the first card, you know, where the referee's thinking, oh, you know, he's riled up, he's caught him, you know, it's definitely yellow. If he hadn't got yellow for the first, would he have got yellow for the second? Then yes, then it's a second yellow. I mean, the only advantage, it's only a one-match ban, isn't it, if it's 2 yellows. So we only miss him for Fleetwood and then he'd be back. We didn't get much off a referee yesterday. I think tactically Evans had told them to slow everything down, spoil it, put their foot so we couldn't take anything quick. And the referee let them do it. He didn't move them on. I mean, he didn't penalise them if they did put a foot on the ball or something. He just moved them back. You know, tactically, you know, they set up against us in the right way to beat us, you know, the way we've been playing recently. But, you know, it's all, everything's with hindsight. But I'd said a few weeks ago, you know, every football fan's expectations change literally from week to week. Last week, we're going, right, now we can go on a run. This week, you know, it feels like it's doom and gloom, but it's only really been the story of our season so far. I mean, we're how many games into it? 28 games. And it seems like this has been every 3 weeks, the same thing. So we shouldn't be surprised at how we are, where we are, and how we're feeling at the moment.
Excellent stuff. It's interesting you talk about expectations, because that's certainly a conversation that's going to come up after we hear from Lee Bowen. I think we should hear from him now. We spoke to him after the game, asked the Addicts boss for his thoughts at full time.
Obviously disappointed because we haven't won the game, but I don't think the players could have done much more. I think they gave everything. And the one thing I'd say is decisions change games. Until the sending off, I thought we was a better side. We looked the most likely, and I believe we'd have gone on and won the game. So obviously the sending off absolutely kills it. Kills you. Once you go down to 10 men, it's still tough. And to be fair, we were still trying to push for that winner. But they end up nicking it in the end, and it's a bit harsh on the players. They gave everything. Said to them that they'd have to fight and compete because they're a team that go from back to front, and we've done that. I think to give them a goal head start again after a minute. Disappointing, because if you think last weekend we looked solid, like we're never going to concede again, and then the first minute into this game we make a mistake and then we get punished from it. I have to say, first two goals were great finishes. I think it's probably the only two shots I had in the first half. And they end up turning into goals. And that's it's been our season so far, I think. Whenever teams hit a shot, it seems to go in. So, but yeah, looking at the positives, we competed, which we had to do. And we moved the ball well, created a lot of chances. Difference is other teams, they're hitting shots and they're going in. Ours seems to be hitting the work a lot in the first half. So just not getting that little break. But overall, I thought we were the better side and I believe we'd have gone on and won. So disappointed, but can't be too disappointed because we had a lot of good spells, a lot of positives to take from it.
I guess referees are always under a lot of pressure when they're managing Gillingham at the moment. Do you think that played a part in it? Do you think it certainly changed the momentum of that second half? Do you think Steve Evans could have played a part in that red card, the amount of pressure he does put on the officials?
Oh, for sure. For sure. How someone can stand on the sideline and try and get opponent players booked in that way? It's not very nice. It's not very nice at all. So that's why Chuck's got sent off. That's why, because of the pressure, the intimidation that comes from them. You're not telling me that both of them challenges are yellow card challenges. Not a chance. Disappointing. Disappointing because I thought the ref done okay, apart from that. Apart from the red card, I thought he didn't put a foot wrong. Apart from the yellow card. Sorry, one other thing was when their fella blatantly dived and cheated and tried to get a penalty, he didn't get a yellow card. And Deji dived and cheated and tried to get a penalty because that's what it is. If you're going to dive in the box with no contact, then you're cheating. So they both should have got a yellow card. But again, Deji gets a yellow card and their fella don't. It's the same fella that got the penalty up there, Grant, early on in the season. Blatant dive. So, apart them two things were the only things he really got wrong, I thought, the referee. I thought he was strong apart from that.
Were you surprised that you got booked yourself when
I shouted, once to the fourth official, and that was because he booked Deji for diving, which is rightly so. If it ain't a penalty, then book him. But you got to do the same to their fella. Like, his one was embarrassingly bad. But he didn't get booked. Why didn't he get booked, their fella? And that was my point. Like, hold on. Like, you book him our player, but his fella done exactly the same. And then I didn't swear at the fourth official or anything. But because I shouted, then he gets me booked. So I'm like, are you kidding me? This man has not stopped shouting and swearing the whole game. And then you want to get me booked for shouting once? Because it's blatantly obvious what the difference was. Anyway, it's not about me. You yellow card, so what? I'll get a yellow card. But that's not important. I'm not surprised, though.
We saw good character, and I think, you know, even having gone behind in the first minute, I thought Charlton looked very strong in that first half, and surprised they only scored once really in that spell, because they certainly reacted well to going behind.
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of positives to take from the game. We moved the ball well. We created chances. We caused them problems from once we went one down. I think that we was good. We was good in large parts of that game. Obviously, taking away the first goal. Second goal, can't really do much about it. It's a long ball into the box. And then there's a scrap and a gamble and it's ricocheting. And then it's an half clearance. And that's what they do. They put pressure on and keep the ball alive. And then you've got to clear it again. It comes out to the fullback and he just hits an absolute screamer. So can't stop that. First one, great finish. Third one, I like to think we could have done better with that one. But I just think that it was tiredness. They had that extra man, and it paid off for them in the end.
Just finally on Jake, obviously he was sort of 50-50. Well, he was a doubt before the game, but he was able to start. But then he's come off. Was that a precaution, or has he picked up something there?
No, he's saying he's just felt it a little bit again. But he trained Thursday, Friday. So he obviously went through his scan on Monday, I think, and scan came back all clear, nothing wrong. So then we looked after him Tuesday, Wednesday, didn't train. And then he trained Thursday, Friday and was fine. So, again, I don't know. Sometimes if you get them little occurring ones, it could be just like neural from the back and you feel little twinges, you know, and it pulls you up a little bit. So maybe it could be something like that. I don't know. But he was fine. The scan showed that there was nothing there earlier on in the week. And he trained Thursday, Friday, normal. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what it is.
You obviously have experience this season of getting the players up again after a disappointing result. Is that becoming harder as the season goes on and potentially chances of promotion are starting to become harder and harder?
No, because it'd be more difficult if we wasn't playing well. If we wasn't moving the ball well, if we wasn't creating chances, if we weren't scoring goals, then it would be obviously a lot more difficult. But again, we've scored two goals, created a lot of chances, hit the woodwork twice again. Not every week teams are, every shot they hit is going to go in. So it's obviously difficult because we're all disappointed. The players are disappointed. I'm disappointed. But work rate, they give me everything. And that's what I just said to him. You gave everything again. You've done everything that we work on in training. You move the ball well. You create chances. You score goals. Sometimes things just don't go your way. And today was one of them, I think. Whether it's decisions or where the ball lands. And that's the game sometimes, Benji. We can't control that, you know. And I said to him, like, if we don't get the red card, then we go on and win the game. Like, I honestly believe that. And I know we would have. Because we was a team on top. They was in trouble. They was backed in. They couldn't really get out. And so, but unfortunately, decisions that I can't control can change games at times. And that's what happened today.
Yeah, and as you said, there's nothing that you or the players can really do about a volley pinged into the top corner from 25. But defensively, obviously, another three goals conceded today. Is there any idea about when Aachen might get back in the team? Obviously, it's unfair to rely on him as sort of the savior of the defense, but still is something that supporters are hoping to find out.
Well, Aachen will play another game on Monday for the 23s. He played last week, come through 60 minutes. Again, like, if Aachen would have been playing there, he would not have stopped that first goal. He would not have stopped that second goal. So I think it's a bit unfair to try and put pressure on that lad. Jason Pearce didn't really put a step wrong today. So I don't think that that's fair to be saying things like that. Aachen was doing well when he was playing for us before, but he's been out a long time and we've got to make sure we do the right thing with him. And on Monday, he'll be playing in the 23s again and building up his minutes. So again, we'll see how he comes through that and then we'll address where he goes from there. So I want him to be in the squad as quick as possible, but we'll have to see how things go over the next few days.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, unfair to expect him to suddenly come in and stop those ridiculous long-distance goals. Now, kind of a difficult question, and feel free to not be able to answer it or to just not answer it. But obviously, the goal coming into the season and the goal the entire time has been promotion, and if not promotion, at least the playoffs. Do you feel that you and your coaching staff will be under pressure if that doesn't happen at the end of the season? Or has there been talks with Thomas that you'll be there regardless?
And who told you that was the goal? To get promotion in the top two or the or through the playoffs. Who told you that that was the plan?
Well, to be fair, Thomas Sandgaard said that that was the plan when he came in, and other players have said it. Is it not the goal?
Of course, we want to finish as high as we can. But what I would say is that if you look at Wigan, who was in the same plan as us, who come down, lost probably most of their better players, if you like. Have a look where they are and then look where we are. So I think, and someone can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that we're overachieving right now. So if we don't make the playoffs, and obviously that's a discussion that the chairman, the owner, Thomas, we will have. But I believe that me and my staff and the players that we've got together now, we will give ourselves every opportunity and we will fight for every point. It will never be from that, Benji. So, good question. But if people think that because we lost 12 players, we was under an embargo, we wasn't allowed to sign anybody, and everyone had 4, 5, 6 weeks head start on us, and then we had the cap come in. If any other team had everything to deal with like what we did, I'd love to see where they would be sitting there. So we're overachieving, trust me.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
To win the header from the goal kick, and then Washington and Stockley combine. He's back with Washington. Can he get the ball in the box? He can. To Stockley, no, just beyond him. Finds Miller though. Will he take the shot? He does, and it's the goal! Chong take the lead. 17 and a half minutes gone, and a fully deserved one at that.
Yeah, totally agree, Tell. This time they make MK Dons pay. Chong pressed really, really well in his opening 17 minutes. We spoke about the opportunities they should have created and nearly had one through Darren Brattley just a minute ago. This time the ball on the right side, lovely ball in from Washington. And again, an overload on left-hand side. Stockley could have got it. Instead, he leaves it for Liam Miller. And that's a lovely finish from the Liverpool loanee.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. I did mention at the top of the show, but we have been nominated for an award, the Football Supporters Association Club Podcast of the Year. This is the second time in 3 years we've been nominated. It's a vote this year, so we need your help. So if you look at the Charlton Live Twitter page or Facebook page, you'll see, or even in the blurb for this podcast that you're listening to right now, you'll see a link to the voting page. If you can go on there and vote for us, we'd be really grateful. We've got some big teams in there. I think there's a Leeds one and a Man City in amongst the six nominees, so it's going to be a tough ask. But if everyone goes on and votes, then maybe we'll have a chance of getting something there. So thanks for everyone who's listened and given us a chance to be nominated for it. But we need your votes now as well. If you could do that, that'd be brilliant. Right, we heard there from Lee Bowyer. I think the major talking point out of everything he came yesterday came right at the end. Benji asking about the pressure. What pressure there will be in terms of Bowyer's job at the end of the season if we aren't in the playoffs? Now, it's an interesting question. Obviously, it's one we fought about for a while. I'm honest. If I'm being honest, I still think it's too early to be asking that, you know, to know the answer to that yet about Thomas. If we don't know what Thomas is like. But, you know, Benji asked what Bowyer's opinion would be on that, and we heard his answer there, Terry. He did answer the question. I think he was a bit defensive at first, as you would be. But as I said, we don't really know what Thomas is like yet in terms of that. But, I mean, it's interesting to hear Bowyer's thoughts. Now, he talks about he thinks that the side are overachieving at the moment. I mean, the first thing he said was, you know, who told you that we're going for top six? Now, I've got in front of me 1st of October interview with Thomas Sandgaard. Thomas Sandgaard is expecting to reach the playoffs as a worst-case scenario. It says, I want to be in top two, but the worst case is the playoffs. The expectation is that we get promoted again this season, but I know how much the team has been decimated throughout the spring and this fall, so it's going to be about rebuilding. It may, looking at last week's game, which at that point was a 2-0 loss at Lincoln, it may take quite a bit of time to get to the position where we are clearly better than most other teams, so it might be quite an uphill battle. Let's see where we are in the fall part of the season and what we can do. How we come out of the market will mean that we can gauge things better. So obviously, you know, Thomas, you know, it would have been very strange if he'd come out and not spoken about the playoffs or promotion being the target. I mean, looking at his quotes back then, obviously he's got a realistic head on as well. So, I mean, but then I asked Bo last week what, you know, if the target's changed or anything like that. This was after the Portsmouth game. He said, I'll never make excuses. I think now that we have a squad that can compete. Talking about the signings, says the signings have closed the gap. You know, the only difference is a point advantage. If we don't finish in the top six, then I won't be happy. I believe the lads we've got in the dressing room now have got enough. They're all good lads. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say the aim of the top six has certainly been spoken about. I think there's also been a little bit of, but, you know, we have to take these things into consideration about everything we've been through. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of people were surprised by Bowyer's comments that we're overachieving yesterday.
I definitely think it's a hangover from the statement he made, the same statement he made at the beginning of the season when we went on that 8-game run. He said, look, don't go overboard here. We're overachieving. You know, with the players we've got, in other words, the rush we had to sign bodies, anybody's to get a season underway. And not necessarily the calibre of player that they would normally have had, then we were overachieving. Now, whether that's his statement yesterday is a hangover of that, so, you know, we're overachieving because of that squad of players. Hopefully that means the ones we've got now, because he did say that, you know, the players we've got now means we can have a good go. So that's how I'm reading it, but that... And that might seem, people might seem that's rose-tinted a bit, and I tend to agree, it probably is. But that's what I'm sort of guessing he's getting at with that statement. And maybe he's got caught on the hop a bit. Maybe he wasn't expecting the question in the first place.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, Mark, your views. So, obviously, you know, at the start of the season, we had all these issues off the field, and it is a hangover. It does, you know, I mean... I don't know if there is an expectation among some people, and I probably got sucked in it as well when Thomas had come in, and all of a sudden we're winning all these games. You're thinking, oh, brilliant, everything's turned around already, but injuries catch up with you. The fact that we again give other teams a head start has caught up with us, and now we're unable. I mean, I don't think you can say we're overachieving when we're not winning games. I think that's probably the main brunt of the disappointment for people, is because currently we're going through a run of three wins in something like 12 games. I mean, you can't describe that as overachieving, but obviously people will look at where we are in as a club our size in League One and not thinking sitting outside the top six is overachieving. I mean, what did you make of it, Mark?
It's a difficult turn of phrase, I'd say. Looking at it logically, I can understand we have had wins without our ideal back four. So, you know, would you say you've overachieved when you've won that game? You know, where you're thinking, well, if we get a draw here, we'd be lucky and we've gone and won. Yes, you can say, yeah, that's an overachievement. I think Bowyer's looking at it from the start when they all walked back in the summer, and he really probably looked around and thought, you know, I've got a bunch of kids, I've got some old hands here, but I don't have enough quality and depth. You know, what can we do? Can we get people in? And obviously, because of the jokers who were trying to run the club at the time, we couldn't really do anything. It was just picking up people on frees and on cheaps. And, you know, remember, Thomas has only come in towards the end of last year. We've had one window, you know, under a salary cap, you know, and sometimes people's expectations. And it drives me crazy because you see people saying, oh, you know, we should have spent money. We should have spent £1 million on this Exeter player, blah, blah. You know, we've got an owner who's, I'm thinking, we've got an owner who's a sensible businessman who's not going to throw £1 million on an Exeter centre half just because some voice on Twitter tells him, oh, this is a good idea. And then they get angry when that doesn't happen. And you're thinking to yourself, at the moment, we were limited under how much you could offer a player, you know, to get them under a cap, which was there at the time, and deal with what we're doing. Overachieving where we are in the league with a start, with the... I know people tend to forget very quickly where we were at the start of the season, ownership-wise and restriction-wise. They just look at it now and say, hold on a minute, why are Portsmouth, why are Doncaster, why are Sunderland all doing better than us? Well, you know what, because they've been a bit more consistent, but there's still, you know, no one, there's a bit of a gap at the top, but there's still the chasing pack. And I don't understand where this sense of entitlement has suddenly arisen, because we've got a steady owner who's got a few bob, but he's already said he's going to do it sensibly. I think it makes absolutely zero sense to me to get rid of Bowyer now, because any manager coming in might change the way they play, but he's not going to change the playing staff. You're going to have the same kind of people. So I think, you know, Bowyer probably looks at it and say, hold on a minute, we've not managed to get, you know, a string of wins together. So have we overachieved when we have had a few wins? I think he's right, to be quite honest. And, you know, I just don't get a sense of entitlement. You know, you are where you are in a league, whatever division you're in. You know, it always frustrates me when people say, oh, you know, this should be a championship club, this should be a premiership club. You are where you are for the very reason of results and everything. So, you know, you can't expect anything to be handed to you. And I think Bowyer's actually being a realist.
Yeah, well, there's so many different views that, as always, have been tweeted into Charlton Live. So we're going to share some of those now with you. I mean, I did ask the question because, obviously, that was one of the main talking points out of yesterday. Are we overachieving or are we below par, you know, with the amount of issues we've had off the field, but we have only won 3 in 12? Should we expect more despite the problems, or must people take those into account? So that was the question I put on there. Fair, you know, very open question. I mean, London Geezer says the fan base is completely toxic at the moment. I mean, there's certainly a lot of argument because there's a lot of people with differing views. You know, a fan wanting Bowyer out on its own isn't toxic. Obviously, that's an opinion, but it's the arguing between those who do and those who don't that can be quite tiresome. And I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong in either side there. Tracy says, I think we need to take it all into account, give them all the benefit of the doubt for now, and then see what happens at the end of the season. Nat says, we need Curbs helping out Lee with tactics, not on the sidelines with Scott. Surely there is a role for him in coaching. When we played bad under Curbs, he sorted out the defence first and ground out a 0-0 and then built from it. Yeah, that's something we've been struggling to do. Gregory says, I think that Lee Bowyer needs lockdown to end and to get an appointment at Specsavers. DCF says, didn't Thomas Sandgaard say the objective is the top six? If your boss sets you a target, you need to achieve it or expect a performance review. Right now, we are underachieving. I don't feel as though the season is lost yet, though. Carl said Bowyer came out after the window and said he has a top six squad. You compare that versus the league table and we are below par. Performances for the main since that Gillingham away game have not been consistently good enough. It's interesting actually now because... so. Just picking up on that, so Bowyer does say, yeah, he certainly said after the window we had a top six squad. But I think now what he's trying to say is, but don't forget that is after the window, so for therefore half the season we haven't, I guess is a point he's trying to make there. But Simon says, apart from the small matter of saving our great club, Bowyer, another big decision may have been made may have to be made by Thomas Sandgaard. If we don't at least reach the top six, will Thomas Sandgaard be happy for Bowes to plan for next season? This team clearly isn't good enough. We need to trust Thomas. Right, Terry says, surely you must take some of it into consideration. I'm of the opinion that Bowes should at least this and next season to build for us. Ian says, if Lee Bayer tells us we will go on a run, he is not achieving his own expectations, not about over or underachieving. He has failed to find a solution to letting in too many goals. And yeah, and that is, I mean, that is certainly one of the big frustrations for me, is that we know going forward we're fine. You know, we'll probably miss the odd chance here, we'll have the odd game where we don't score, but our goal scoring record is fine as far as I'm concerned. Defensively, you know, we've had so long to try and iron out these mistakes now, Terry, and I can't understand why they don't get ironed out. You know, if it is a personnel thing, then, you know, obviously the discussion was had about whether we should have got try and get a defender in the break. But the fact that we can't seem to iron out these mistakes, and we're still, what, you know, over halfway through the season now, that is a major source of frustration for many fans.
And understandably so. It's I think I said it at the top of the show, it's a strange one to try and get your head around. When you look at our away form, you know, I think we're the second best team in the league for away results. Was it 8 wins? And I think it's only Lincoln have bettered that, and they're at the top. Why it's so different at home, I wish I could answer that. I mean, yes, you know, when we went on that great run, our defence was different. It, you know, we had the solid partnership of Fanwo and Ennis, and we haven't had that since. And maybe that's the reason. And perhaps the reason he didn't sign anybody in the window is because he's always said, and I think every manager says, that you only buy or bring in players if they improve you. And is he looking out there? Has he looked? Did he look out there and think, well, for the price tag that we could afford, bearing in mind the salary cap and everything else, it means we'd have to get rid of other players to bring in defenders. Maybe that wasn't possible, and it's entirely likely that it wasn't possible. And equally, if you know you've got Famo's really close to coming back, Innes, I think the scan might be in the next day or so, and if that comes back positive, then they're both very close to coming back. They're two defenders that you probably couldn't buy for the money we got them in, or loan in, should I say. So it may just not have been possible to bring in anybody with a better quality to make us better at the back for the limitations we had. So you just have to go with the cards you're dealt with, and that's, I think, what he's been trying to do. You look at the defence away from home last week; it was outstanding. Everybody did their job, not just the back four or back five or back three or however it's set up. The whole team defending from the front, the midfield was superb. It just didn't happen. Now whether the fact that Jake Forskeski had to go off fairly early on in the game had a bearing on the way it panned out, I don't know. But certainly the way we defended and played up at Rochdale was so much different to the way we then played at the Valley yesterday.
It's so hard to put your finger on it. I'm tearing my bloody hair out. I ain't got much left to do, right? MICFC says, home form or advantage, we have none. Why, with no crowd? Only thing to make us home is to use our dressing room. Half the squad probably haven't even been in there. It's an interesting point, actually. But I believe, like, so because of the social distancing, I believe that any team in the dressing room has to spread out over two separate rooms, so it's easier to do your team talk for in one dressing room. I believe that's why we've gone for that.
Can I interject here, because I've actually seen it, seen how it's panned out. The away dressing room, half of the team are in the away dressing room, the away team, and the other half are in the old media centre of the away team.
In the Charlton Live studio.
Correct. Well, yeah, to you know where the press conferences were.
Yeah, right.
That's where they are. And Charlton team are split in a similar way, but half are in the changing room and the other half are upstairs. So before we come out, the half that are in the changing room have to go upstairs to come out.
Oh, I never
knew that. That's the way it's panning out. Now, I've got an opinion on this, actually. I think we're too generous in that. I think we should make the away team come down the stairs before the game. Make it seem strange for them, because I wonder half the reason perhaps is because it seems so strange for the way it panned out. Maybe their mindset's not right. And I'm making excuses, I know that. But maybe we should just be a little bit tougher on the away teams and make them change in awkward circumstances. Make them climb up and down four flights of stairs before they come out on the pitch.
Yeah. I'm the same. I'm, I'm the same ever since I've started working from home. I just tell my bosses, like, I've had to come downstairs this morning. Like, I'm like, it's not in the right frame of mind now. There's steps involved. Graham actually made the same point on email. Why do we make life comfortable for the teams we play at home by letting them use the tunnel while we clamber down the stairs? So, yeah, it's certainly something that people have been thinking about. Right, Dan Dempsey said, again, we're just watching, the team is just watching players run into our box. I don't agree with Boya that we're overachieving. We're underachieving against poor footballing sides. The top six miss out and it will be a poor season. Vince says, seen this before with Charlton teams over the years. 3 months of bad form. Lee Boya and staff haven't come up with any answers. We can't keep blaming this on the lack of centre-backs who are injured. This is a big test for Lee Boya at the moment. He's failing abysmally. The SELK Grassroots podcast said, we continue to blindly keep faith in Lee Boya, who has proven to not have answers when the chips are down. The League One promotion playoff season went our way most of the year. We carried somewhat by Lyle Taylor and a much better squad than we have now. This and last season, Lee Boya has been found out tactically. Tom Bramley says, it's another shocking performance at home. I think Boya should get the summer to turn us around, but our home form has been terrible recently. I know people say that we nearly didn't have a club in October, but we do now, and our standards should be higher than mid-table mediocrity. Gordon says, tactically, we seem completely out of ideas. We have done for weeks now, despite having a decent first team squad for League One level. We've been undone by almost every team in the league now. We're tactically naive, and that's a management and coaching issue. Same errors every week. Bows need help. I mean, tactics is certainly something people question. That's a standard go-to question when a team isn't playing well, Mark. I mean, tactics, it means getting yourself, A, into a position to create chances, which we do, and then B, to make sure that you don't allow the other team defensively to get through you, which we saw, for example, at Rochdale, but we're not seeing often enough at home. So is it a tactic? I mean, but at the same time, like, we can always pinpoint, like, a mistake that someone makes. So are we tactically wrong, or are we personnel or individual errors wrong, or is it a bit of both? What do you think?
Couple of points. First, 10 teams in the league have won more away games than they have home games, which, you know, is pretty high. And that's from top literally down to even Wigan, down in the bottom four, have won more away. So that's going to be something. We talked about a few weeks ago about the pressure is less on the away side because they're hearing, you know, and they said yesterday, tactically, because old Evans is just shouting at the referee the entire game, and it's got to him. It really has to be. Decision making, again, difficult. But again, it's about an opinion. And I said earlier, and you said about seeing tweets and stuff. And I know there's a couple of the guys, I know Benji and Nathan, neither of them look at social media after the game because you just get the almost worst knee-jerk reactions, which is why, you know, when we do the show, you've had a day to sort of like think about it and ponder about it. But someone was saying that Boya had to go because he should have got rid of the two 35-year-olds, and he meant Pearson, Prattley, and kept Madison and Williams. I'm thinking, if a season was to end now, you know, for me, player of the season has been Prattley again, and, you know, maybe Jake alongside him. Personnel-wise, it's been difficult because he has chopped and changed. I mean, I think yesterday, I don't know, it was last time where we had a totally unchanged team for two matches running. You know, that could be injuries, that could be anything, and it's going to have to change it again. I just think it's crazy. It's, you know, the beauty of football, it is about opinions, but at the end of the day, one man makes the decision. And if, you know, we get to the summer and he can say, right, you, you're not being renewed. I want to bring in X, Y, and Z. And Thomas can say, right, we can do this, but it's going to be we have to be here by Christmas and we have to be promoted if we don't get anything this season. And then Boya knows exactly where he's going to stand. I mean, I think Thomas, if I remember rightly, had said he had almost like a 6-year plan to get us back to the Premiership, which, you know, it's nice to hear an owner being enthusiastic and actually talking and caring about the game more than their own sort of like line in their pockets or sitting in Belgium wondering why everything's going wrong. So I think it's a case of it's really hard now, especially when it's raw after a defeat. Is to say, look, a bit of patience, you know, might just benefit us all, you know, in the long run. So, you know, you had to have patience under Kerbs, you know, and it worked. You had to have patience. I mean, Terry will back me up under Lenny Lawrence. There were plenty of people calling for him to go, and the board at the time didn't, and got the rewards for it. And I think if Thomas shows some patience, you know, he's not going to be limitless, you know, but if he shows some patience with Bowyer, I'm, you know, certain, you know, we can, you know, turn it round and be successful.
Well, fingers crossed. Right, a couple more tweets before we'll go to a break and then get on to the emails. Robert Crouch says the gaps at the back are so noticeable, I can see danger happening. I'm sure others can too. Yes, the goals are weldies, but all can be avoided. We are literally not doing the basics right at the back. The closeness of marking is awful. You're taught young to show outside and away from the goal and danger half a yard away from your opponent. Third goal, Perrington may as well have been in the next borough. He was that far away from Dempsey. You could literally see it coming. Yeah, when I got home, I think Ben Perrington was sat on my sofa. Is how far back he went for that goal. Dave Boy said Dave's final thought. Yeah, Dave got really excited that the show ended on his tweet on, was it Thursday? And so unfortunately, Dave, you're not the final thought this time. You're in the middle. But he says, Dave's final thought, a bit rubbish, some positives. Overall, dreamland turned into a nightmare. We go again. And finally, just before we go to the break, then Lewis Stubbs says that we dominated large parts of the game, really should have won this one. Inconsistency is killing us this season. Our defence really needed strengthening, and it proved it yesterday. Their second goal was unreal, but the other two were poor pieces of defending. Bowyer's time is up now. And then Lewis did add, please don't share the views of Bowyer in fans only. Well, we certainly haven't been only sharing one view, especially if you listen over the last few weeks, Lewis. We've shared everyone's views, so don't let that idea get in your head. But thanks for your tweet. Thanks for getting involved as well. Right, we'll have a quick break. We've still got loads of emails to come to as well on a slightly longer version of Charlton Live this week. I'm sure you can imagine we've had plenty of people wanting to get in touch. We're trying to get to as many as possible on this week's show. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Shinny prepares to take. Shinny takes. It's a shot. Oh, great free kick. Oh, the power was too strong for Eastwood. He dived to his left, but it's past him. And Shinny, who got the assist for the first goal, now opens his Charlton account with a lovely free kick. And Charlton, just before half-time, make it two. That you're going to be okay anyway.
You know there's no rest. Charlton Live. Well, welcome back to the final part of Charlton Live for this week. A few more emails. I want to try and get everyone's opinion in, as many as we can, because like I said, we get so many. So pick a few of the emails at random. Again, thanks to all of you who do get in contact with the show, though. studio@charltonlive.co.uk if you want to email us for next week's show, or at Charlton Live on Twitter as well. Simon O'Hara says it's another loss and another list of excuses from Bowyer. It's a big decision for Thomas Cumming. Will he want or trust Bowes for the transfers in the summer? Oh, to be fair, actually, I don't think we've actually answered that question ourselves. So I'll come to Mark on this one. If in the summer we haven't been promoted, what decision do you think Thomas would make, and what decision would you make in terms of Lee Bowyer?
One, I think it depends how our season goes between now and the end of the season. If there's an alarmingly drop-off, then I think that changes it. I think, obviously, you know, Thomas will sit down with Gallen and Bowes, you know, possibly Jackson, and say, right, what are the plans? Who are the players we're looking at? Can we get out of division next year? How likely is that to happen? What can we offer people? Can we offer better contracts? You know, can we clear out one or two players? Can we bring in someone who's really going to make a difference to us, and look at it that way? I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be in Thomas's ear yet saying, oh, no, this guy's can guarantee. There's no manager. You know, they're going to sit down and say they can do well, but I don't think anyone's going to come in and say, I guarantee you I can get us promoted. You know, there's one or two managers who have got quite a lot of promotions on their CVs. But it's not like there's a massive list of talent out there where you can say, right, you know who's available. You know, I heard someone pondered Eddie Howe. I'm thinking, yeah, he was just in Premiership and he wants to come to League One, even with a budget. You know, it's, I can't see it. And I think some of his football was pretty turgid, to be quite honest. I think we'll survive to summer, and I think, you know, Thomas will back him to a point. And I say, he might say to him, look, you know, this is where I want to be in 6 months. I want us to be top of the table, you know, X, Y, Z, this amount of goals, you know, and we'll look at it there. And then, you know, if it's not happening, then you'll be gone at Christmas and someone can come in, have a window and hopefully get us promoted. I think that's a way to look at it. I think to get rid of him now is just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. I think if Bale was still here in the summer, I think that would actually be his first window where there wasn't any massive, like, transfer embargo, wage cap, some sort of thing really holding him back. So that would be interesting to see if Thomas takes that into account, you know. And it's not always easy to turn around things, you know, after a relegation. Look at what happened to Leyton Orient when they had a new owner coming in. It still took them a while to sort of bounce back from where they are. So that's one thing that will be interesting as well.
Yeah, I've got one view on that, if I'm allowed.
Yeah.
And I'm harking back to a tweet as well that you read out where somebody said our promotion season was carried by Lyle Taylor, which is absolute tosh, by the way. I'm just going to read out some players that we had in that season compared to... I'll just read them out, and then you got Lyle Taylor, of course. You got Anthony Dicksteel, Patrick Bauer, Joe Aribo, Dylan Phillips, Christian Billick, Josh Cullen. Now, Colin Grant for half a season. Those players, every single one of those players would walk into this side. That's my opinion. I'd very much doubt whether too many people would disagree that at least all, if not the majority of those players, would walk into this side now. So to say that it was a fluke or to say that it was a one player season, I think is nonsense. And I think, would we have been able to sign the calibre of those players again without a salary cap, without any interference from rogue owners? And the answer probably is yes. So will Thomas Sengard look at this and say, well, let's try and give Lee Bayer and his management team no restrictions and get the calibre of player that we got when we got promoted last time?
Certainly interesting, yeah. Because when we got promoted last time, we were operating under a Roland who, you know, forced us to scrimp and save a little bit on costs and water bottles, etc. And Bayard, you know, proved it then. So will Thomas look at that and say, well, you've done it before, do it again? It's interesting, isn't it? Right, Craig says, an embarrassing home defeat against Gillingham. The club is so inconsistent at the moment. One step forward, three step back. To concede after 30 seconds is a joke. Poor from Chucks as well to go in for that challenge on a yellow. Is this run ever going to happen? As for Bo's overachieving remark, do me a favour, we must do better. That's from Craig. Cheers, Craig. Phil says, hi, guys. It seems we can only play competitive football in every other match at the moment. Whilst we do have a decent attacking football at all times, defensively and in midfield, we only manage one good game in two. Until we can put consistent performances in every match, we're never going to be serious contenders for the playoffs, let alone automatic promotion. I feel that the talk of the embargo and being 2 weeks behind everyone is becoming tedious. We are now in February, and the two players that we managed to bring in early have not performed well in any of those games they have played. The squad has the ability to challenge, but for some reason they cannot put two performances together at the moment, and chances are going on that extended one run are wishful thinking. We need to go back to basics with a settled side as far as possible. Make sure we compete for every ball. Too often our players are not competing for second balls. Also, Ad, I voted for the podcast, and best of luck. You may be our only chance of winning any further trophies this season after the Community Trust. Keep up the good work. Cheers, Phil. Thanks for your vote, and thanks for your email as well. Scott Jones says, hi, guys. I understand that given the current circumstances, you can't just rant to your mates about how we've played on your way out of the ground after a game or on the train or down the pub. But the reaction on Twitter after every game is becoming silly. Do your people honestly think we played that badly yesterday? People asked Bowyer to keep the same back four. He kept the same team and they didn't deliver again. Why is it Bowyer, Jackson or the physio's fault that we aren't in the top two? When did the players get held accountable? Ultimately, with the summer window we had, realistic fans knew it would take something special to get promoted this year. The embargo, the previous ownership and the wage cap have massively affected this season. It's not a coincidence that the winning streak happened around the same time the takeover was completed and the squad was just riding on the wave of the positivity around the club. Give Bowyer and Jacko the summer with no wage cap, no embargo and stability. Judge them after that. They deserve that. Yes, we haven't performed this season. I'm not saying it's been good, but we've seen worse. Who else is there in to bring instead? Cook or Howe? I've seen them on Twitter. People need to be realistic. They won't go near League One. Enjoying the pods. Thanks. That's from Scott. Cheers, Scott. Yeah, plenty of different views coming in. We should say Jonathan West and Adam Biggs from the Upbeats have emailed in as well to say hello. And hoping that we can pick up some more results. Hope you two are well. We'll just come to one more. I'll just Robert Chilvers. Hi, guys. After much thought, I'm on the opinion that this season, taking everything into consideration, the gods are simply against us. COVID, no crowds, injuries, red cards, embargo, late takeover, salary cap, weldies, basic defensive errors, and hitting the woodwork to top it all off. The salary cap lifted after deadline day. Just roll on next season. That's from Robert Chilvers. Well, yeah, roll on next season, certainly. I'm not quite writing off this season yet. Although it's clear where we need to improve and improve fast if we want to stay in that race for the top six. I'm just praying that we do so and I can stop tearing my hair out about these inconsistent defensive performances. Right, I think we've run out of time on this week's show. Sorry if we didn't get to anyone's emails or tweets. As I said, we've had hundreds in this week and we can't get to them all, but I'm really pleased that so many of you have tried to get involved with the show, so thank you for that. A real range of opinions on the show, which I think actually shows the split amongst the fan base or the differing opinions. Try not to get into arguments on Twitter. That's all I say. We're all Charlton fans. We all want the same thing. We all want the best for the club. Some people just have differing views on how that is will be achieved. But we're all friends. Don't forget that. Right. Run out of time. Thanks to all of you who've got involved. Thank you to Terry and to Mark for enduring this with me.
Cheers, friend.
Lou, I just want to give a shout out to the Auckland Addicts. The guys in New Zealand who get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a group of them who watch the games at that time of the morning, and they'd listen to the show as well. And I said that when I was on next, I would say hello, you know, and vote for us.
Oh, lovely stuff. Well, they must be absolutely mental getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch us defend. But there we go. Fair play to them. Well done, guys. Thanks for listening, everyone. Then we'll be back on Thursday to look ahead to the trip to Fleetwood. We'll speak to you guys again then. But I've been Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.